Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And now, welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we always like to remind you that on Sunday mornings at 10:30, we have a Zoom fellowship, a worship service every morning on Zoom, and so every Sunday morning. So if you'd like to join that, please check your e-newsletter or your weekly update so that you can join us in that Zoom session. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. Now we'll have the daily word reading for today, November the 5th. And the key word is transitions, and the affirmation is, I flow with life's changes. Looking at my image in a mirror, I see myself at times when my life was changing. I may see the grinning child who lost a tooth for the first time, or the proud student on graduation day. Perhaps I recall my ambitions as I embarked on my career. Maybe I feel a tinge of sadness, revisiting the pain of the loss I felt during my more difficult transitions. As I have grown spiritually, I have learned to flow with life's transitions. I know that even during the most challenging changes, God remains a constant presence. I will always be divinely protected and one in God with the people I have loved. Moving willingly and gratefully through my transitions deepens and strengthens my awareness of God and of myself as a divine being. And this scripture reading is taken from Ecclesiastes 3:1, and it reads, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Amen. Now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are still on this journey to try to understand more about the spiritual side of ourselves. And you notice today's title is called, We Are the X in God's Formula for Spiritual Existence, right? And we're going to talk about that process. It's really interesting. A lot of times when we're watching movies about creation and whatnot, there's a lot of talk about mathematics, you know, that math is sort of the key to everything. So we're going to talk about the math of God's formula in this particular talk. You know, we're continuously on this quest, again, for a deeper understanding of the spiritual ideas we are studying, but more importantly, how to integrate them in a way that gives us the ability to live and apply them to our everyday lives. Because without the application, this just becomes intellectual knowledge. And see, each one of us is going through the process of evolution, even if we are not aware of it. That's the key. And actually, our soul, as opposed to our personality, is going through a process of evolution. And once we left the Edenic state, meaning the state of pure innocence and bliss as described in Genesis, the evolution of our soul began. So the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary explains that Eden is a pleasant, productive state of consciousness in which all possibilities for growth exist. Okay, let me say it again. So this is from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. Explains that Eden, you know, we're talking about the Garden of Eden, is a pleasant, productive state of consciousness in which all possibilities for growth exist. So the goal of our soul journey is to come full circle back to this Edenic state of consciousness where we will know the truth about ourselves. Okay? And that truth being that I am the Christ. I am that which springs forth from the mind of God. And each one of us could say that. I am the Christ. I am that which springs forth from the mind of God. And to fully understand and embrace that truth is the path we're traveling. Okay? again, whether or not we realize that that is the path that we're traveling. And that's the key to this whole thing. A lot of what's going on within us is unconscious. Okay? So the combination of all the experiences in our lives are part of the formula for self-discovery. Let me say that again. The combination of all the experiences in our lives are part of the formula for self-discovery. So everything you experience is part of that formula. And the variables in the formula, of course, are different for each one of us, depending on the nature of our individual soul journey. However, even though the soul journey may be different for each one of us, there are two basic components we share in the formula for spiritual existence that, when grasped and understood, produce results that always lead to something good in our lives. And these two components are wisdom and love. Okay? So wisdom and love are the two qualifiers of being that, when used and contemplated together, it enhances our ability to live in faith, peace, love, and joy. Now, in the book, Mysteries of Genesis, and this is where a lot of this lesson came from, by Charles Fillmore, he explains that, again, that we are the X in God's formula for existence. And this is what he says. He says, in some ways, we can think of our individual self as represented by X in God's formula for existence that God uses to calculate the movement of our individual consciousness from human consciousness to spiritual consciousness. It is as if God is carrying each of us along in God's mind as an ideal quantity, as the image and likeness individualization of God. And the success of God's formula is dependent upon each one of us eventually becoming the manifestation of the idea God carries in God's mind about us. That idea, of course, is that each one of us is the Christ. Okay. And again, you know, when we use this idea of God, we got to try to understand a divine intelligence, a divine spirit, as opposed to an individual, right? So the universe is what is carrying this idea about us in terms of our image and likeness to God. So again, allegorically, there is a formula which calculates how long it will take us to evolve from human ignorance to spiritual awareness. The awakening, which is the awakening state of knowing. So spiritual awareness is the awakening state of knowing, of truly knowing. A lot of, I think, of our knowing right now is more, you know, intellectual. We know, but do we really know? And so God's formula is, let us make humankind in our image after our likeness. That's the formula. Let us make humankind in our image and after our likeness, with wisdom and love being the key components that work together to produce the Christ awareness within each of us. Okay. Now, this formula has been implanted in our soul and into our psyche, which means that every thought we have goes into God's formula. Every thought we have goes into God's formula and is calculated and recalculated until each thought results in the image and likeness of God, okay? Which is the Christ, which complies with wisdom and love. And because this formula is implanted in our psyche, the calculation and recalculation is happening whether or not we are aware of it. That's why sometimes you may have a thought about something, and then a little bit later you have a little bit different thought about it, because this calculation and recalculation is constantly happening to get that thought, feeling, and emotion into a space that complies with wisdom and love. Okay? Now, we may not be aware of this, right? But this is happening all the time. So logically, this explanation would cause us to ask, well, how long will the recalculation of my thoughts take to result in my transformation into the consciousness of the Christ? Okay? Well, a possible answer to that question is recorded in 2 Peter 3:8-9. And he said, But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Meaning there is no time in that space where God is. The Lord is not slow in keeping the promise of transformation, as some understand slowness. Okay? God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come into the light of spiritual understanding. Okay? So when you ask that how long question when it comes to spiritual things, what that verse is basically saying, there is no time as we know it. Okay? And this scripture is telling us that God's formula for spiritual existence is designed to continuously recalculate our thoughts for as long as it takes for each of us to remember that we are the Christ. And it's interesting. It doesn't come as we all of a sudden go, I am the Christ. It comes in sort of an epiphany, okay? Something you were thinking about, worrying about, concerned about. You know, that process is constantly being recalculated within you. And you may come to some kind of an epiphany and say, wow, you know, something has caused me to look at this differently. Okay, that's sort of the awareness we're talking about, as opposed to just voila, you know, something comes to you and says, I am the Christ. We move closer to Christ consciousness with greater understanding. However, it is imperative that we understand that if we are not consciously allowing the recalculation of our thoughts and actions until they result in wisdom and love, then we are not evolving spiritually. When I say not allowing, is that when you get these new insights, if you discount them, you're not accepting the recalculation that the spiritual formula is doing within you to bring you to wisdom and love. So we must choose to consciously and willingly be involved in the process, be involved in the formula. Okay, as Jesus explained in Matthew 24:32-33, he said, learn the lesson from the fig tree. And I like this one. Learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branches become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that God is near at the very gates of your mind. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things take place. In other words, to all of our thoughts come to wisdom and love. Okay? Now, I like this part. As soon as the branch becomes tender, okay? See, each of us have most likely had experiences in our lives that have caused us to become less tender. Okay? Like life just can do that to you. It can cause you to become rigid and stuck in your ways, not willing to relinquish our attitudes and opinions about what we perceive to be causing discomfort in our lives. But Jesus is telling us that what we are experiencing will not pass away until we become tender. Whatever we're struggling with will not pass away until we become tender, meaning willing to let go and let God recalculate our every thought, feeling, and emotion until they come into alignment with wisdom and love. Okay? And the dictionary says a person who is tender is one who expresses gentle love. So in the context of this lesson, that is a person who allows their thoughts, feelings, and emotions to be recalculated to come into alignment with wisdom and love. In other words, when you realize what you're thinking or feeling is not in alignment with wisdom and love, you become still and allow those thoughts to become recalculated until they come into alignment with wisdom and love. Okay? So it's a constant practice. And so often the answer to many of the challenging dilemmas in our lives could be solved with just a little tenderness, being tender with yourself, being tender with each other, being tender with your thoughts about the challenges in your life. But the ability to be tender, to be compassionate, cannot happen within the same consciousness that is causing you to be fearful and rigid. Okay? And this is when we need to submit ourselves to God's formula for spiritual existence and allow ourselves to be recalculated and recalculated and recalculated as many times as it takes to get to wisdom and love. So, how do we do that? How do we surrender to God's formula for spiritual existence? Well, the explanation isn't simple. and neither is the process. Okay? However, there is a divine system already implanted within each one of us to help with the process. Okay? So the process is not easy, okay? But there is a system implanted in us to help with the process. Now, to explain this, let's go to the explanation of the Garden of Eden as explained in Mysteries in Genesis. Okay? It says, the Garden of Eden symbolizes the omnipotent, unseen realm from which comes the visible universe. Modern science has called it the cosmic ethers. Okay? So now, the human body, with its psychic and spiritual attributes, comprises a miniature Garden of Eden. Let me say that again. The human body, with its psychic and spiritual attributes, comprises a miniature Garden of Eden. And when we develop spiritual insight in our thoughts, words, and actions, and begin to operate voluntarily in accordance with divine law, we will gain understanding and dominion over our mind, body, life, and affairs. Okay? Now, I know this is a little bit dense, but let's just try to work with this. You know, so what we have within us is the individualized Garden of Eden, complete with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, Scripture begins to make more sense when you put yourself in it. It's like in the movie, The Neverending Story. I don't know if you ever watched that, The Neverending Story, very old movie. It's when a young boy is reading a story. He's reading the story, and he actually becomes a character in the story. So it's the same with reading Scripture. It begins to make more sense when you allow yourself to become the character or characters in the Scripture. So in this case, we are learning that we are both Adam and Eve being coaxed by the serpent to engage in a dualistic thinking of good and evil by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, and again, dualistic thinking meaning being of two minds. Right? Now, according to the Mysteries of Genesis, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents the connecting link between that which is formed, earth, and that which is formless, heaven. Okay, and we can think of this idea being that which is our consciousness, unformed, and that which expresses in our life is being formed. So just as a family tree keeps a record by which you can determine the connection between family members, so also does the tree of life, the tree in the Garden of Eden keep a record of the connection between the family of thoughts in your mind and how they manifest in your life, okay? But it's not the same record-keeping we're familiar with where someone manually creates a record of certain occurrences. Not that kind of record. The record kept by the cosmic ethers are bioelectrical, which means they are currents of energy that are established within you and coincide with and are sustained by your thinking and the consequent feelings created by what you are thinking. Okay? So to further explain this phenomena, to eat, as the story goes with Adam and Eve eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, metaphysically this means, to eat means to appropriate the substance of ideas by thinking about them. So whatever it is you are busy thinking about, you are simultaneously appropriating the substance that will give shape, form, and life to those thoughts. And you are also setting into motion within yourself the bioelectrical currents that will continue to support that which you are eating, meaning, of course, what you are thinking and feeling. Okay. However, if you're doing the prayer work that is necessary to keep your mind focused on that which is good and tender, that which is grounded in wisdom and love, the results in your life can be very rewarding. Okay, it's doing the work to keep yourself, a mind focused on what is good and what is tender. And being in the silence, the stillness, that recalculation process is going on. Okay, and it doesn't need your help. It just needs you to let it happen. and then become aware of it when it, percolates up in your mind. So the way to test what you are thinking and feeling is to ask yourself, how close is this thought and feeling to wisdom and love? Okay. And I realize how delicate this subject is because it's prying into the inner recesses of our minds and asking us to analyze and evaluate what we're busy thinking about. Okay. And the problem with lessons like these is that it would take a lifetime of living a highly spiritually disciplined life to come anywhere near close to accomplishing what the lesson is referring to. However, if by coming aware of the deeper meaning of Scripture and thinking about it, if we do that, if we just keep ourselves thinking about the deeper meaning in Scripture and keep thinking about it, we can make a dent in our efforts to turn our thoughts to God. We will live a spiritually significant life. Okay? Again, it's sort of like the same concept of the woman touching the hem of Jesus' garment. She just touched the hem and it changed her life. So if we keep working on it, we can make a dent in this process we're working on, it will change our life. And the potential to live by truth principles instead of material principles has already been established within us. Jesus restored the bioelectrical current between God mind and our mind by aligning his mind with God mind. And see, we know from history that once one human being accomplishes or establishes something new, he or she creates within the complexes of the human psyche the possibility for all humans to accomplish the same. That's why Jesus said, and you shall do all that I do, and greater than these, okay? So for each one of us, the opportunity to reestablish the connection between our mind and God mind exists in every experience in our lives. Every experience we have gives us the opportunity to try to reconnect our mind with God mind. So the key to our spiritual growth depends on in how many of our life experiences do we choose to be conscious of the potential for spiritual connection to occur. Okay? It is imperative that we remember that the reason for making a spiritual connection, again, is not so much for resolution of whatever is challenging us. Okay, we always want God to fix this. Okay? That's not the real reason. The reason for spiritual connection is for spiritual connection itself, the desire to know God. Because when we become able to truly connect with the divine within us, resolution takes care of itself. Once we make that connection, truly make that connection, whatever has challenged our lives begins to take care of itself. Synchronicity sets in, and all the forces we need to help solve this come into being. And what may have delayed our spiritual progress is that we may have been striving for a spiritual connection by using prayer mainly for material gain. God, I need this. God, I need that. Okay. And as discussed before, religion has turned God into an adult Santa Claus, causing us to go to God needy, begging for more things. And this is why it's recorded in Genesis 3:24. After God drove the human out of the Garden of Eden, God placed at the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Okay? Now, the reason why the human, and I'm trying to, keep from saying the man or the woman, but what the reason why the human was put out of the Garden of Eden is because besides the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there was also the tree of life. You see, the tree of life is the key to the inner, eternal, omnipresent, abundant life of God. And God did not want humankind that was now operating from the dualistic consciousness of good and evil, right and wrong, to have access to the knowledge of eternal life. In other words, divine intelligence prevented humankind, who was operating in dualistic consciousness, from gaining access to the life force that would allow him or her to live in dualistic consciousness forever. I hope that makes sense. Okay, so God said, I don't want, it's hard to take away the language of making God sound like an anthropomorphic being. But the universe is saying, I do not want individuals who are operating this dualistic mindset to have eternal life. Okay, it's recorded in Genesis 3:24. After God drove man out, God placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim, and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. I looked that word up and it said it could be human form with wings and a sword. It could be animal forms, but it was something that was put there to keep us from entering back in. Now, the east means within, meaning again that all of this is occurring within us. We are within the Bible story, and the Bible story is within us. And the cherubim are that which protect the inner sacred life from the outer coarser consciousness, meaning simply our spiritual self is protected from our ego self. In other words, you cannot really enter into that spiritual essence of your being with your ego. As it says, leave that at the door, okay? You have to enter in just as your pure essence. And it says in metaphysical, and I'm sorry, in Mysteries of Genesis, oops, sorry.
Yep.
Did I have that up all the time?
Yes, you did. I tried to give you the message.
Oh, sorry, sweetie. Okay, so it says in the Mysteries of Genesis, omnipresent wisdom closed the door to the within until humankind should again enter into the garden by reestablishing the divine consciousness of the Christ. Okay? So this is simply saying that we cannot enter into the inner spiritual realm of our being with our dualistic ego mind. Okay, let me say that again. We cannot enter into the inner spiritual realm of our being with our dualistic ego mind. The key to the spiritual life comes from focusing our awareness on the inner spiritual life through prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation. So once we gain the knowledge of good and evil, we had to leave the Garden of Eden consciousness and enter into a stage or process of evolution. Okay? Our goal is to evolve to a state of consciousness. And remember, all this is the allegorical, the metaphysical or allegorical explanation of that whole Garden of Eden story. Okay, so we had to leave the Garden of Eden consciousness and enter the stage of, in the process of evolution. We had to re-evolve back to our state of oneness. So our goal is to evolve to a state of awareness where we come to understand the value of the spiritual life over the material life. Okay, and again, this is a lifelong process. Or if you're open to the idea of reincarnation, it's a multi-life process. In other words, it is highly unlikely that we'll become highly evolved spiritually by the end of the week, right? But you can start right now to allow the Lord of your being to recalculate your thoughts and feelings and emotions back to wisdom and love, allowing you to become more tender and non-resistant to a change in the bioelectrical energy within you, okay? So I know that's enough for right now to contemplate. So I'm going to leave you with this thought from Ernest Holmes from his book, Richer Living, which could be applied to many of the conflicts that are going on in the world right now. It says, compassion and caring, wisdom and love are the ties that could bind us together in mutual understanding and in the unified attempt to uncover and truly see the divinity within each other. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, take this time now to be fully aware of your posture and comfort. You may close your eyes or take a downward gaze. Take in a couple of deep breaths until you feel ready to become aware of your indwelling Christ presence. Life is full of changes, some expected and some not expected, some pleasant and some unpleasant, some big and some small. How we cope with these changes can affect our well-being and our happiness. So how do we flow with life's transitions, and changes. Let's begin by taking the following words as your very own. I can practice mindfulness. Mindfulness can help me accept and reduce stress and anxiety. I can practice by breathing deeply, paying attention to my senses, or doing any activity that brings me joy and calmness. I recognize that I cannot control everything, which can be exhausting and futile. I can focus on what I can control, such as my attitude, my actions, and my reactions. I appreciate life as a flow of change, imperfection, and beauty. Life is dynamic. Everything is constantly changing. Instead of clinging to the past or worrying about the future, I can appreciate the present moment as a gift. I can find the beauty in small things, such as a smile, a flower, a sunset, or a hug. I focus on the positives. I stop focusing on the negatives or the losses. I focus on the positives or the gains. I can also think about what I have learned and what I have achieved, what I have gained, or what I am looking forward to. And I can rely on God to guide my path. I trust there is a plan for me greater than anything that I could think of for myself. I express my praise and understanding. And now let's take this time to go into the secret place of the Most High with all your thoughts. We are grateful, Holy Spirit, for your eternal presence in our lives. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to join us.
So this is the time we give thanks for the abundance in our lives, for the prosperity in our lives, for good health, all the things that we enjoy. Even when we have some challenges, we know we still have blessings. And so we give thanks for all of those blessings by saying our prosperity prayer together. Together? Oops.
Yes, that's right.
Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
Then our offering blessing, you know, we ask you to think about the spiritual inspiration you get from the messages here from Unity, from which you receive. And if you are inspired by them, you know, we are thankful in advance for the donations you send so that we can continue doing the work we're doing. So please, you know, hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. Now we have light notes.
So light notes for today, November the 5th. So on November the 12th, from 12 noon to 1 p.m., we will hold our remembrance service following the Sunday Zoom fellowship. We invite you to join us in remembering our friends and family members and all around our world who have made their transition due to sickness and or war. So please join us on Zoom. The Book Light Book Club will meet next Sunday to discuss the Oprah Winfrey book, What I Know for Sure. They'll meet from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Zoom. Keith Robinson, a longtime member of our church, notified us that his wife, Kathleen, made her transition on Monday, October 23rd. You may send cards to Keith Robinson, and all this information is in your e-newsletter and your updates, so you can see the information there. But you are welcome to come to the service, and you're welcome to send cards instead of send offerings to the St. Augustine School or instead of the flowers. But please check your updates for the details. Also, the 21st Century Ministry Enhancement session is on Wednesday, November 8th from 10:30 to 12:30, or Thursday evening from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The topic for this presentation is all about the grief process, and it's called Compassionate Grieving, Living into Greater Life. It's sponsored by the Unity World Ministries, Eastern Region and the Southeast Region. And if you are interested, please email Patty, because the church has already paid for your registration, your participation. That concludes our light notes for today.
Okay. All right, so now
it's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. And now for our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. Actually, today, for those who are watching, this is the first Sunday in November. We are having in person.
Right.
So those who are watching on Zoom, we just want you to be aware that the first Sunday of each month, you can actually come in person to our center in Bowie.
We would love to see you.
We'd love to see you. So December the 3rd, I think it is.
Yes.
It's the next first Sunday. And also put on your calendar on December the 31st, we're going to have
New Year's Eve.
We're going to have in-person
service
on that Sunday.
Right.
So just keep those on your calendar and join us for those services. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.